I know this seems presumptuous to say, but you're very lucky to be here this morning. You are. Because you are about to hear about one of the most extraordinary lives of the 20th century, and one of the truly great people of the 20th century, one of the greatest, who passed away just a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, on May 12th, at the age of 98, and whose obituary you may have seen in the newspaper. But unless you spent a great deal of time contemplating her life, I don't know that you appreciated how unbelievable this human being was, how much we owe her, and how we should not only know her name, but our children and grandchildren should know her name. She wasn't Jewish. She was Polish. And her name was Irina Sendler. Irina Sendler. Don't forget that name. She was a social worker. And when, at the age of 30, the Second World War broke out, and 400,000 Jews were trapped within about a 5-square-kilometer radius called the Warsaw Ghetto, Irina Sendler decided that she and a group ultimately of about 30 people whom she organized all by herself, she decided that they would save the children, as many as they could, of the Warsaw Ghetto. Now, how do you save children in the Warsaw Ghetto when nobody is allowed in and nobody's allowed out? Her ally in this fight was typhus, the disease that didn't only kill Jews, it also, of course, killed Germans. And so medical supplies, doctors, nurses, social workers, were under very, very strict conditions allowed in and out of the ghetto to combat the disease. And what she did was she set up a rescue mission, and it involved the following components. First of all, she had to go to Jewish parents and convince them to give her their children. Now remember, it is hard to believe that certain death awaits you, especially when this has never happened in the history of the world before, that Jews have been targeted just because they were Jews all over a vast spread, all over Europe, East and eventually West. And it was hard to imagine that somehow the persecutions wouldn't end, so the parents had to know their children had no hope. And in fact, some of the parents told her, "We're not ready yet, come back." And she said how heartbreaking it was when she came back and they had already been deported or killed. So the parents had to give her, a Polish woman, their Jewish children. The second part of the rescue mission was she had to figure out how to smuggle these children out. And she used a variety of means. Some of them were brought out in coffins with their mouths taped shut and sedated so they wouldn't make a sound. Some of them were smuggled through the underground tunnels that ran under the Warsaw courthouse that she and her friends knew about. And then she had to decide where to put them. And she put them everywhere, with sympathetic homes, in convents, in countries that were still uninvaded. And then she had to decide how to reunite them. So she took slips of paper and wrote down identifying characteristics of children and their parents and who they were and where they came from and where they lived. And eventually, because these slips of paper came to the attention of the Gestapo who hunted for them, eventually she buried them, and they were uncovered after the war. and then you had to endure. She was captured several times, and she was tortured. She was really tortured. They broke her legs, broke her feet, and were on the verge of killing her when the Nazi guard was bribed and put her name down as somebody who had been killed and let her go. Irina Sendler, this little Polish lady, did all this. She estimated that it took 12 people to rescue one Jewish child. And she organized all of them. And then lived most of the rest of her life behind the Iron Curtain, so that when, for example, Yad Vashem wanted to honor her, she wasn't allowed to go because the Polish government wouldn't let her travel to Israel. It wasn't until 1983, with the collapse of the communist system, that she was allowed to go to Yad Vashem and be honored. She was finally honored with the highest honor of the Polish government in 2003, which, as the obituary in The Economist says, let me just read you the last sentence of this obituary, it's wonderful. In 2003, she received Poland's highest honor, the Order of the White Eagle. It came a little late. That's the woman who died 2 weeks ago. She was responsible on her own for saving over 2,500 Jewish children. And as one of the survivors whom she rescued said, she didn't only save me, she saved my children and my grandchildren through all the generations. So in fact, there are tens of thousands of Jews in the world today who wouldn't be here if it weren't for Irina Sendler. And I wonder how many Jews know her name. When we're talking about goodness, when we say, why didn't people do anything, one of the things we have to realize is what happened to the people who did do something. She was tortured and she barely survived. And by the way, when you look in her life for what it is that motivated her to do this, unsurprisingly, it ran in the family. Her father was a doctor who died because he treated typhus victims when other doctors refused to treat them, among them, she said, Jews whom no one else would treat. When she was a student at the university, she refused to sit on the benches that were reserved for Aryan students, and she sat with the Jewish students. In other words, this was an extraordinary spirit. And it is my hope that in every synagogue across America, and indeed in the world, at some point, they will mention her passing and talk about her life. This is what she had to say about her own heroism. Every child saved with my help is the justification of my existence on earth and not a title to glory. In other words, like true heroes, she did it because she thought this is what she was supposed to do. Surely, you know that in 1939 and 1940 in Warsaw, nobody ever thought that they would be honored for saving Jews. Quite the opposite. She had every expectation that she would be killed, and she did it anyway. At the beginning of today's Torah portion, we read, Im b'chukotai telechu, if you walk in my ways. And I cannot think of another human being who exemplifies that more beautifully, more dramatically, and more heroically than Irina Sendler. And when she died, I thought the entire Jewish world should be mourning her and praising her and remembering her. Because who did more for the Jewish people in the 20th century? Who sacrificed more? Who dared more? Who did more without any expectation at all of recognition or of glory than Irina Sendler? Who until the age of 98 never capitalized on what she had done, even though other people wrote a play about it called Life in a Glass Jar. This is what she said. Mrs. Sendler once told an interviewer that she wanted to write a book, but her book would be about the bravery of Jewish mothers. She said, "Here I am, a stranger, asking them to place their child in my care. They ask if I can guarantee their safety, and I have to answer no. Sometimes they would give me their child. Other times, they would say, 'Come back.' And as you know, when she came back, they were often gone." But her reaction wasn't to trumpet her own heroism, but the heroism of those who allowed her to save their children. The reason this story is so important is not only for her heroism, but also because as Jews we do something that David Hartman said so eloquently about Passover. We haunt our children with historical memories. We teach them over and over again how through history people have been cruel to us, have persecuted us, have killed us. And we forget to teach them how many have saved us, have cared for us, have been kind to us. We paint a picture of a world that is unkind and Jews that are victimized, and we forget. Irina Sendler had 30 people working with her. Every one of those people risked their lives. They were more than morally good. They were heroic. And you have to ask yourself, what would you have done? If some other group, not the Jews, were in the Warsaw Ghetto, and you had, as she did, a husband and children, would you risk yourself, would you risk them to save these strangers whom you didn't know? We have to teach our children about them too. Schindler's List was a good start, but Oskar Schindler was not alone. And he didn't risk as much as Irina Sendler risked. He had position. He had money. She had nothing. And with nothing but courage and her own two hands and her own lion's heart, she saved thousands of children. That's why I said that you are lucky to be here on this Shabbat. Because you got to hear about Irina Sendler. And now I hope you will make your children and grandchildren lucky by telling them about her too. And tell them that she was not alone. That there were others. That in the sad and awful history that we sometimes have to confront as Jews, there were also people who cared and people who saved, and they have to be inspired by these people in their own lives as well, to feel not only as victims but also as heroes. Ashrei ha'am, lucky is the nation that can count among its friends people like Irina Sendler. May her memory always be a blessing. And may God care forever and ever for her compassionate and heroic soul. Amen.